Yeah, you love body rolls.
I love a body roll. That's my go-to move.
I love like a ham and cheese roll.
On this week's episode of The Fame Report, Alexander Casalas sits down with dancer and internet sensation Mark Kanamura, where they talk about Lady Gaga.
I noticed that I was just getting really burnt out.
Viral videos.
But yeah, this song just brought me so much happiness. And then I started posting these videos, like, really just silly videos of me, like, lip-syncing to them on my little, like, on my Instagram stories. And I just noticed that people were getting so much happiness from them.
And music that people sleep on.
I don't know, but that's so funny that you bring that up, because Merce and I were having breakfast this morning and it came on at this restaurant. And I was like, this song is so good.
Also in this episode, Alexander Casalas takes to the floor at RuPaul's Drag Con in Los Angeles, where he chats with Latrice Royale.
Wow, I am really patient.
Raja O'Hara.
I've learned throughout this competition is that hurt people, so it's okay.
And Mayhem Miller.
Mariah Carey had tweeted me.
It's queer as hell. It's gay as fuck. It's campy, fresh, hot topics. Yes, girl, you're in luck. Diva stars and queens, LGBTQ news, New York City, Broadway, pop culture. Hurry up and get the Fame Report. This just in is the Fame Report. It's perfect for you, so get the Fame Report with Alex Casalas.
All right, here we go. This is the Fame Report. And today I have, I probably should have done my homework. The fabulous Mark
Kanamura.
Kanamura, yeah. I am so excited about being here with you.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here with you too.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I just love everything that you do and that you represent. But before we get into all that, I have to just bring up the fact that on the way here in the Uber, because we're going to talk a lot about pop divas, but I feel like this is a pop diva that we probably won't end up talking about.
Interesting. Okay.
But I'm intrigued. Demi Lovato, give your heart a break.
Okay.
What a good song.
It is a really good song.
Let me give you a heart a break. Give you a heart a break. Let me give you a heart. It's just so much you can take. It's so good.
It's a bop for sure. I recently got into, she has this remix of, what's that song? It's, oh, tell me you love me. I need someone. You know what song that is? No? Oh, come on.
I need, what is it?
On days like this, I do. On days
like this.
She has like two remixes.
Just tell me, yeah. And it's kind of crazy that the best lip sync of the season of Drag Race was a Demi Lovato song.
You're right.
Yeah. Did you expect that?
The lip sync?
Well, did you expect that lip sync?
No. I was dying over that. Are you fucking kidding me? That was insane.
And did you ever expect like the best lip sync of Drag Race to be a Demi Lovato song?
No.
No.
Never.
The other thing was, I was going to offer to bring coffee to this, but you told me you don't drink coffee.
I don't drink coffee.
What's that about? Tell me that.
I stopped drinking coffee 8 years ago.
Why?
Because I just like stopped one day. I didn't have coffee one day and I was like, oh, I actually feel great. And then I just continued on with it.
So what's in that? So what's in that cup?
Tea.
Tea. What kind of tea?
Black tea. Yeah.
There's some caffeine in that, right?
There is caffeine, yeah.
Yeah.
I just, with coffee, things were getting a little intense and it was like not helping my sleep. I'm pretty sensitive to caffeine, so.
If I drink a cold brew after 3 o'clock, I'm fucked for the night.
Are you really?
Oh yeah, but then like give me all the cold brew before 3 o'clock.
And you're good.
Oh my God, yeah, I could like.
Yeah.
And coffee like tears up my insides. Like I'm convinced that I'm like so allergic where if I just like smell a bean.
Stop.
It makes me shit my pants. Yeah.
Wow.
But I love it. I love it. What did you say, the pie?
The power. The power of the bean.
The power of the bean. So let's wait. Like, cause I actually like don't know too much about your like origin story.
Okay.
But your origin story has to do with the person on your t-shirt, Lady Gaga.
Yeah. I mean, well, it depends what you consider my...
Well, yeah, I guess your origin story did start before you started performing with Lady Gaga.
Yeah, yeah.
But, well, you're from Hawaii.
From Hawaii, yep. And I grew up there training in, well, I was like, my parents put me in sports first because they didn't know what to do with me, you know? So soccer, baseball, volleyball, none of that which interested me. I was like, no, thank you. And then they saw that I took an interest to shows. So they started putting me in like musical theater classes, which was great. And then I went through puberty, so I got really uncomfortable singing. And I just stuck with dancing and then trained in dancing. I was always very, very clear from a kid, from like a child, that I was like, I need to be a part of like the entertainment industry somehow. I would watch music videos, I would watch tours, and I was like, that is what I want to do. Like, so I would have like specific dreams of going on tour. At the time, it was with Janet or Madonna, specifically Janet, though. Like, I would have dreams about this. So I just trained and like worked really hard. And then got a few like jobs after high school, like at Tokyo Disney and working for like cruise ships and stuff. And then I tried out for So You Think You Can Dance. And from there, moved out to LA, started auditioning, and then got a job with Gaga.
So So You Think You Can Dance happened before Gaga?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
For some reason, I always thought it was after.
No, it was before. Yeah.
And what was your experience like on So You Think You Can Dance? And looking back on it now, like, what does, like...
It was really important for me just because it was a time in my life where I was just really wanting to step outside of my comfort zone. So I was like, you know what? Why don't you just go audition for the show? So I did that. I remember getting to the auditorium where we were auditioning, and I just was watching all the other dancers, and I was like, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, honestly, like, you are so out of your league here. You're never going to make it on the show.
But every single person that's So You Think You Can Dance is there because they are good, though, pretty much. So there aren't, like, bad people, like, really bad people, or are there?
I mean, it's like American Idol, where you get, like, it's a mixed bag. You get, like, your people that are really great, and then you get your people that maybe just dance for fun, that are trying out for, like, a show that is, you know, the dancing is very high caliber.
I did American Idol.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. I love that.
And I was, like, getting so far in the process where I kind of was just thinking to myself, like, I got to them.
Yeah.
That year was the first year that Cara DioGuardia was, like, doing it.
Okay.
And that year, it was Paula, Randy, Simon, and her.
Okay.
And I got into the finals.
Yeah.
Which was, like, 10, like, 5 or 6 rounds of producers and then them. And there was a room, like, 100 of us. But in that room, I remember seeing, like, really good people.
Yeah.
And then, like, seeing really bad people.
Yeah.
And I really was, like, which one am I?
Yeah.
Because I feel confident about my voice. I love my voice. But I am, like, a unique person, a unique personality, a unique voice. And so I really was, like, struggling with figuring it out. And when you try out, they want you to wear the same thing over and over again. And my first audition, I had worn these ridiculous short shorts. They were, okay. They were basically such short shorts. They were, like, jean panties at that point.
Okay.
And
I love
jean panty. They did comment on it.
Okay.
But I was like, I wore them at a default because I had like slept over at a friend's house and that was all I had left.
Yeah.
And so I stopped wearing those after. I wore another pair of shorts that was like a little bit more conservative just because I didn't want to wear what that was. And I really think that that's why I was picked, was because of those shorts.
Yeah.
And then later on, they didn't really have anything to like point out about me or make fun of me for, like,
sure.
So I ended up telling no.
Yeah.
But one of the things that happened was when I did sing, I sang first I did Proud Mary and they were all like, that's too karaoke.
Okay.
And then I sang this like very weird rendition of A Case of You by Joni Mitchell, which is actually done by Diana Krall, but Diana Krall like deconstructs it and it sounds super funky and weird, like with her on the piano.
Okay.
But I decided that like I was going to be able to do this.
Yeah.
And I actually like did, but then Cara said to me, it's funny you sang about paint drying because watching you sing that song was as boring as watching paint dry.
Wow.
Yeah. And then they all said no and I went on my way.
Wow. Okay.
But yeah, but did you feel that like, so you were in that room when you were looking at everybody else and you were like, I don't belong here. Is that what you were thinking?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I was like, what were you thinking? Because everyone was just technically amazing. And I've never like, technique has never been like my strong suit. I've always been more of a performance-based artist, I guess. I've just always been drawn by the theatrics, by the performance. So I, to be honest, like I think that's the reason I got on the show was because I offered something that was different from everyone else. And during that whole time, I just kind of stuck true to who I was because that's all I had to offer, you know. So
how far did you go?
I made it all the way till I think I got up to like the top six, which is like the week before the finale. So I got pretty far. And by that time I was like ready to be done. I was like exhausted. It was still to this day, it's like one of the hardest things I've ever done mentally and physically.
Yeah, those shows are rough.
So rough. 100%.
Which is why when you see like all the Drag Race queens like talk about it and stuff, you're like, I believe you. I can't even imagine what that must be like.
Oh, 100%. And that's why when I see people being so hard on like these drag queens, I'm like, you have no idea what they're going through. Like, you have no idea. And I feel like as the seasons go on, it's like they're expected to do more and more and more and more. And it's just, I think sometimes we forget that they are, you know, having to design their, you know, design clothes. Mm-hmm. They're having to do comedy, dance, music, rapping, improv. Like, it's insane, the things that they're having to do. You know, it's wild.
And, like, the access to fame and access to success is so interesting because for so long, like, historically speaking, you really, like, worked to become successful and famous. So you were constantly, like, learning many lessons along the way about, like, how to deal with that. Mm-hmm. And now in today's, that still exists, those people that become successful and famous after years of hard work. But then there's also people that become successful overnight.
Sure.
And I think that that's the most scary, and it's a fabulous and a lucky experience, but it's so scary because you're becoming so famous so quickly that do you really have the tools capable to deal with all that? And a lot of people say the biggest lesson they want to be able to give to like the new girls, or even like Rue has said, she wants to like write a manual, mm-hmm. On how to deal with all of this, mm-hmm. because it is so overnight for all of them.
Sure, yeah.
And I find like that to be so interesting.
Completely. And not only is it overnight, but I feel like the accessibility of feedback is instantaneous.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like before, like you would have to write like a fan letter, you know what I mean? And mail your fan letter to like an artist. Whereas now you can literally get on your computer and type your thoughts to them and they can read it in a second. So it's like, I feel like that's a whole nother aspect of it as well, you know, which is crazy.
And we were talking about like, my voice and my relationship. It's really funny because I usually moderate a drag con. I'm not moderating this time around, but I usually moderate. And on the last time I moderated, somebody wrote in the comments on YouTube, this is like somebody who follows World of Wonder, so they're probably like a Drag Race fan, like a queer fan of the franchise. I really wish I could cut the voice box out of the moderator and burn it.
Wow.
Yeah.
People are really harsh online. It blows my mind. It's insane to me. I hate it. I really do.
Well, I have a keychain. It says never read the comments.
Yes.
But I saw you posted actually. You just posted about some comments that people were writing about you.
I did.
And yeah. I'm like, why? Well, what are they saying? Like, what do you think? And why do you post about it? And do you think posting about it is like, why did you post about it?
For me, it's interesting. The differences between like Instagram and Twitter. Instagram for me is like it's like a really safe space for me. It's like a community where I don't feel like there's a lot of people that kind of trickle in that like aren't following me that kind of like leave hateful comments. Whereas like on Twitter, it's just like, I don't know what it is about that place, mm-hmm. but it's pretty wild. It's mm-hmm. insane. So anyway, somebody had posted like, oh, this guy usually annoys me or something, but this is hot. And I was just like, haha, like funny. And then,
such like a double, right?
Yeah. And then the comment below that was like, from another guy who was like, oh yeah, this guy doesn't annoy me, but I know that a lot of gays are annoyed by him. And I was just like, okay, cool. Like for me, I'm like, you know what? Like Twitter keeps me grounded. It gives me like, you know, the balance, I guess. Yeah.
You don't annoy me at all. And like, you don't.
Thanks.
And honestly, if you did, I would tell you.
Thanks.
I mean, I just love that you don't take yourself so seriously. Yeah. I love that you're challenging the boundaries of masculinity and femininity. Mm-hmm. I love that you're all kind of doing that bad as you're like falling over yourself in heels all the time. And I love that because mm-hmm. you're also just like making it aware that you don't take yourself so serious enough not to post you falling down in heels. Totally. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love that. And I think there needs to be like so much more of that on the internet.
Yeah, I agree.
What have been like some inspiring messages that have come to you that have come your way we talk about the haters.
Yep.
What's like pinpoint like one really inspiring message? It's like,
there's been a few where people have been inspired to like come out to their families. And that is always very inspiring. I recently got one last week that, still makes me very emotional, but this person was like considering taking their life and they saw like a post that I had put on Instagram, and it just made them rethink that, which is very big. Like, that's huge. That really, like, touched me.
The one about you, like, having tough times as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was huge. That was, like, that was a whoa moment, for sure.
I was just talking about this last week. It's, like, where I want my, like, center of the internet or section of the internet or piece of the internet to be, I want it to be, like, mostly power, positive and empowering and inspiring. But you definitely have to be real. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you got to, like, lift that veil up. And be like, listen, girl, I just got diagnosed with syphilis and I'm losing all my hair. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did, like, back in the fall.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's yeah. a show that, like, you know, shit happens. And, you know, even though I do have this personality that seems really, that is really positive, it's like, even I got dark days too.
100%. Yeah.
And I think those can, like, really help the people that maybe are having just, like, more darker days than not.
Totally. And I just, you know, like, when I had posted that, I was getting questions often of, like, how people were just like, how are you so happy all the time? Where do you get, like, all this self-confidence from? And it was something that I was just really thoughtful about for a really long time, because that's not the case. You know what I mean? And I wanted to, I felt like with the platform that I had, it was really important for me to address that, because I do want to keep it real, you know? And I think that, I don't know. I think that that's why a lot of people kind of are, intrigued by what I do, because I think there's a sense of reality to it, because it's really just me dancing in my bedroom with wigs on. Like, there's really not, like, anybody can do that. Anybody can put on music, throw a wig on or not throw a wig on, dance around in their underwear or whatever they want to dance around in, and, you know, have the time of their life.
But you also have a really cute apartment.
I have a great apartment. I'm very lucky.
Which, yeah. by the way, is where we are recording from. And I kind of feel like I'm, like, seeing this, like, really special, like piece of your life. Because, I mean, I'm always, like, seeing it on your feed.
Yeah.
And now, like, to be here, I'm like, oh, this is kind of, like, not like it's, like, necessarily that bougie, but just, like, being here is bougie as fuck.
It's not bougie at all.
No, I don't think it is that bougie of an apartment. That's what I'm saying. But I'm saying just, like, being here, like, being behind the scenes. Like, I want to see where the ring light is. Yep. I want to see the box of wigs.
Yep. Oh, it's just all in my closet. Like, stuffed in my closet. Oh, my gosh.
That's one thing I'm always commenting is just how clean your apartment is.
Oh, always. Well, I'm a Virgo. And also, I mean, yeah, I can't. It drives me crazy if my apartment is a mess. Like, I can't stand it. So, like, as soon as I'm done with the video, I will clean that shit up immediately. I have to.
But the other thing I want to say about, so a friend of mine was like, my friend Andy has been very supportive of the podcast and he's been listening, but he's like, you really got to explain, like, what you're doing or what you're trying to do. Because right now it's pretty much like me talking to queer people who I love and who I respect and everything. But really it's also just about, like, it's interesting because it's kind of what Andy Cohen did with Watch What Happens Live. Before Watch What Happens Live, there was never a platform for housewives to talk about their shit, you mm-hmm. know? May it be silly or may it be important, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? He created Watch What Happens Live, and then it gave, you know? And right now, there are, like, so many influential people, especially in the LGBTQ community, that have a platform, that are doing something incredible. And honestly, they don't really have a platform to talk about it, to mm-hmm. reflect upon it,
sure.
to really talk about it in the 300. And so that's what I want my podcast to be. I want to be reaching out to these people like you, like Benito Skinner, like Johnny Sibley, like Trace Lissette, like mm-hmm. Ashley Marie Preston, who are these incredible people in the LGBTQ community who are doing incredible things. And honestly, they may not have a platform to just sit down and kiki about it for an hour.
Sure.
And that's also why it's important, though, because then you can kind of tell your fans or your followers or your new followers, you know, yeah, I am positive a lot on my Instagram, but I also, you know, get really kind of shitty, too.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
So then how did So You Think You Can Dance go into Gaga?
So because I made it further on the show, I was able to go on tour with So You Think You Can Dance. And that's where I was, like, able to make a lot of my money and save up to move to L.A., so I moved to LA, I moved into Hollywood. It was like it was my first apartment here. And it was, the struggle was real. Like, I was, you know, I think on the show we're kind of told, like, oh, get ready, things are going to be really great, you're going to have so many opportunities. And then you get here and it's just like, you know, you're auditioning with everyone else. You're not really treated any differently, which, you know, it was totally fine. I was just kind of caught a little off guard, I think. And, you know, there's so many dancers here, like so many dancers here that are trying to make it. So everyone is hungry, trying to get jobs. So, yeah, the first oh gosh, I don't know, 6 months out here was rough. And then I had an audition notice for this artist, but I noticed that Gaga's choreographers were on that job. So I was like, I need to, well, first of all, I was obsessed with Gaga before that. Like, while I was on So You Think You Can Dance, my song, like kind of what my Cut to the Feeling is now, it was Just Dance. Like, I would listen to that song over and over and over again before every single taping. That song was like in my, like in my ears, basically. So obsessed with that. I was like, I would read all of her interviews on in like magazines, and I was just like, gosh, this woman is so incredibly creative. I was so drawn to her. I was like, I need to work with her. Like, it just, it needs to happen. So when I saw that her choreographers were auditioning for another artist, I was like, oh my God, I'm so going to this, and I'm going to audition as if I was auditioning for Gaga. So I ended up getting that job. Through that job, they booked me for Lady Gaga's paparazzi performance for the VMAs. And then from there, I got the job to go on tour with her and then just tour with her for like years, which was great.
So like, how do you reconcile like the person whose song is inspiring you to then like being on the stage at the VMAs, like dancing with them? What was your first experience like meeting her? Just like write that down for me. I'm always curious. I'm really curious about this stuff. Like this experience of like meeting these people. What was your first experience like meeting her? Did you shit yourself?
Well, so when I found out that I got the job, where was I? I think I was in like Nebraska teaching somewhere. My agent called me and told me that I got the job, and I was literally bouncing off the walls. I was crying. I called my mom. It was like a whole ordeal. It was insane. So that happened. I had to come back to LA for rehearsal, and I remember the day where they were like, okay, so Gaga's coming in. She's going to like take a look at like what we've been working on. And I was so nervous. I was like, okay, like, please just get your shit together. Don't fuck this up. Like, remain calm. And it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where like, you're a professional dancer. You have to remember what you're doing and what you're here to do. So I just, I got my shit together, and I danced my fucking ass off. You know what I mean? Like, this, and it was so surreal though. It was like, she was there like watching this, and I'm just like, life is so weird and so cool, and you're like, you're dancing for an artist that you were like dreaming of working with.
Yeah,
like, it's just fucking insane, you know? Yeah.
And then what was your experience? And then you like worked. Actually, do you know Siobhan Iannuzzi?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm friends with her. Our friends are there.
Yeah, on tour with us. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm like really good. I went to her wedding.
That's so crazy. Oh my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. She was a backup singer on. Yeah. Monster.
The Monster World.
And you were on that tour.
Yeah.
As the answer.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to her wedding. It was so much fun.
That's amazing. I love that. Small world.
Yeah, she's like the best. She's like such a supporter of mine, such a huge fan of mine. And then she's also like still a really good friend with some guy. He's like, his like Instagram's like the 212 kid or the 218 kid. And he still dances.
Right. Yeah.
He still dances with her a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
So then what happened, like, how does that end, or what, how does that kind of gig end, or, like, what happened at the end of it? Like, did you just stop doing it? Like, what, how did that, I don't even know how that ends.
Yeah. That tour, and then straight into that tour.
The Born This Way Ball.
Yeah. And in between that, you know, like, we're shooting music videos, we're doing, like, television appearances, and it's, like, while all of this seems, like, really glamorous, and parts of it are, it's, like, very...
Exhausting.
Very exhausting. Like,
yeah.
You're traveling, there's time zones, it's, like... And then on top of that, like, you know, when you're performing, you're putting out a lot of energy for her fans. And because of her music, a majority of her songs are dance songs. So mm-hmm. we're on the stage a lot dancing, you know? By the end of it, I was really burnt out. And I'm pretty, like, conscious and aware of myself and, you know, how I am. So.
And self-care.
Oh, 100%. And I noticed how I was feeling. And it was just one of those things where I was like, okay, I think it's time. I think it's time to step back and for you to go off and explore other creative outlets. So I did that.
And like, what's the experience of like, maybe like giving up something that like is so like popular or like something that you've been looking for so long and then like taking a step back from that? Like, what is that?
It's a lot of things because I was very sure of myself. I was very sure, like, this was, like, the time for me to stop. So I was, like, I was very confident in my decision. But then, of course, you have a lot of other people that are like, what are you doing? This is such a great opportunity. Like, you're insane for, you know, stopping this. But I'm like, once I make a decision, I'm like, I'm pretty set on it and I'm good. And I had a really, really wonderful journey with her. Like, I felt like, I don't know, I got to do a lot of the things that I came out to LA to do. Like, I got to tour, I got to do music videos. And on top of that, with an artist that was, like, truly inspiring. Like, mm-hmm. I was like, you know, I...
Are you still inspired by her?
100%. Mm-hmm. I think she's incredible. I don't think there's a lot of artists out there that can do what she's done. Like, in terms of even, like, the albums that she's put out. Like, I cannot think of another artist that can go from, like, a jazz album into, like, a fucking pop,
country,
rave, electronic album into mm-hmm. a country album into, like, filming a movie. And then I'm just like, it's really incredible and inspiring. So yeah, to this day, I still like look at her and I'm just like, you know, she shows up to the fucking Met Gala and like has a freaking performance art piece on the carpet. I'm just like, of course you're going to do that. It's amazing.
So I didn't know too much about all this stuff, but like my best friend, Evan Shapiro, is like a monster.
Okay.
I think a lot of people, if they perceive me on social media, they probably think I'm like a monster, and I guess I am, but I feel like for me, I try to give like all the divas like a fair space in my heart.
Yeah, 100%.
But I do post about her a lot, and I do love her, but Evan's like a monster.
Okay.
So I think I remember like when I first saw like a Cut to the Feeling, I started like really getting into you like through Cut to the Feeling Fridays and like loving you and everything.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, I already know all about him. I've been like, I've been following him for years.
Yeah.
He's this, he's that, he's this, he's that, he's this.
Yeah.
But I was introduced to you or came into like, you know, your being through Cut to the Feeling Fridays.
Yeah.
And then how did that start?
That came out of depression, actually, if I'm being super honest. I had just moved out of a place that I had lived with my ex. We were together for like 7 years. And yeah, I had just moved out of our place and I was so low. And I was just, I was very, very, very sad. And I just felt lost. I felt alone.
Why did that relationship end?
We were both on tour together with Gaga. We were both dancers. And then as soon as we stopped touring at the same time, we both just kind of were trying to figure out ourselves individually and what we wanted to do just as individuals, you know? And I think that it just kind of led us in separate directions,
mm-hmm.
you know, as I think that happens naturally. And I just, yeah, I found that we were... It was a rough time for both of us. We were going through like a very, very big transitional phase just individually. And it obviously like that affects a relationship. So yeah, we kind of grew apart and things just kind of, you know, ended. But yeah, so I was feeling really depressed and really alone and really lost. And then this song came on and I was like, I was like, okay, what is this? Like, this is really good. And then I was like, let me listen to that again. And once that starts happening, oh, let me tell you, it is downhill from there. I mean, like, uphill for me, but downhill for, like, my friends and my family and, like, you know, my sisters and stuff. But, yeah, I started repeating the song over and over, and then I just found that it was, like, getting me moving and dancing and singing, and it brought me so much joy and happiness.
And then you're like, okay, this is, like, the theme song to Trolls 4.
Is it?
I think it is. Wasn't it written? It wasn't written. It was written for a movie.
Oh,
Cut to the Feeling?
It was, what was that movie? Leap or something. I never saw it.
It wasn't like an actual, it wasn't like on one of her albums.
It wasn't, yeah.
We should probably Google this.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you don't know, considering how like you made a career out of this song. But it was like written for like one of those, like an animated film.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think she was like a voice of a character. Carly Rae Jepsen is who we're talking about.
Yeah.
And the song is Cut to the Feeling.
Yeah. In case you're not aware. But yeah, this song just brought me so much happiness. And then I started posting these videos, like really just silly videos of me like lip syncing to them on my little, like on my Instagram stories. And I just noticed that people were getting so much happiness from them. And I like loved that. I was so happy that people were able to like connect in that way. And they were like, oh my gosh, this just brings so much happiness and so much joy to my life. So it was like really cool that it was not only doing that for me, but it was like doing that for others. And that just kind of inspired me to continue sharing that side of myself, just because before that, with my social media and the things that I would put online, it was very much like very thought out. I was very calculated mm-hmm. in like the things that like people were seeing of me and like mm-hmm. and this was like, so this was like a completely different side of me where I was just like, you know, it was like I was just getting out of bed in the morning, like my hair was a mess, I was dancing around in like my underwear, and I was like, all right, I'm not maybe looking my best right now, but this is who I am, and I'm just, you know,
yeah,
doing that. So
it is, it is interesting. It's like when I do feel like, even with like me and my following, which is like a fraction of a big following like yours, I still at times really think that I overthink things.
Yeah.
And I think that when you do that, people don't respond or really relate to it.
100%.
The most random things that I'll put online that I once, like a few months ago, just was like lip syncing a Deborah Cox song, mm-hmm. not even that well, in my yep. bathroom, and people like loved it.
Because there's like, to me, there's like something relatable about that because people do that. Like it's something that people do in the privacy of their own home. So I think when people see that online, it inspires them to continue doing that because it's like, I feel like there's a sense of freedom with it. Like, and I think that's a huge thing with all of this is that, yeah, there's a freedom. There's a sense of pride in like being who you are and sharing that, I guess, you know, being, yeah, standing in your own skin.
And I think it's important to not take gender so seriously. Like, I think when I, almost every GLAAD Awards, I'll wear heels.
Uh-huh.
And people respond just like so, they're so excited by that. And I'll still be like in a suit, but I'll be like wearing heels,
yep.
you know? And I think that for me, you know, we have so much privilege to be able to play with gender the way that we do, like being gay men, you know, and all of these mm-hmm. things. But I think that it is really important for us to play with it and to be like slightly perhaps like more masculine, like you are with your body type, but then in heels and in wigs and you're playing around and all those things, because it just really like challenges the notions and it really... And I think that's also what people are responding with you as well, is that like you're this sexy gay guy and you have this great body, but you're also in wigs, you're in heels, you're not walking that great in heels, you know what I mean?
Yes, I'm aware. Yes,
yeah.
100%. Yeah.
But I think that's good.
Yeah.
It's been fun. I need to see more of that.
It's been really fun.
So what happened when, like, what was the first moment you realized that Carly Rae Jepsen, like, knew about you or was following you or, like...
I think the summer that Cut to the Feeling came out, I think she just was like reposting a bunch of videos mm-hmm. that like people had done. And she had reposted one of my videos and I was like, oh, that's so cool. I love that. And then she had posted a Pride video of mine the following summer. And then, like her team had hit me up to see if I would come out and perform with her, in August of last year. So.
And you did that.
I did. Of course I did.
And
I
was like, still had the wigs going.
Still had the wigs, yeah. They were like, they called me up. It was the night before, actually. And they were like, hey, Carly wants you to come and perform with her. And I was like, I actually died.
I always feel like when the stuff happens, it happens like so like last minute.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
Yeah. It's so funny.
And I called, my sister Marissa was like the first person that I called. And I was just like.
The one that got married?
Yeah.
The one. Yeah. Typing away in the corner?
Yeah. I was like.
Who I met in Provincetown when I met you.
Yes. Because obviously, like, she, you know, she knows me. She knows my journey. You know, I was so excited. I was, like, crying. And also, she lives in San Francisco, and that's where it was going to be. So I was like, Marissa, like, you're not going to, like, just the way that everything worked out, it was so crazy. It could have been anywhere in the world, but it was in San Francisco
mm-hmm.
where, like, my sister could be there to come and, like, watch and support and experience that with me. So that was crazy. And then, yeah, I get there, I meet Carly, and it was just, it was a really nice moment because I was able to share with her, I think sometimes there's like a bubble where people are just like, oh my gosh, you're amazing. You're, you know, but for me, it was really nice to like share a moment with her that I was able to express my appreciation for her artistry and for like, for this song, because like this song was like more than just a pop song for me. Like this song really helped to like lift me out of a very, very dark place. And it was nice to be able to like share that with the person that was
responsible
for that, mm-hmm. you know? So it was a really nice moment.
What does she represent to you as like a pop star or like as an artist?
Happiness,
mm-hmm.
joy, light. Like, I don't know, there's something about her music that anytime I put it on, I'm just, like, instantly in, like, a better mood and a better place.
She's, like, there's something just, like, really interesting. There's something just, like, so interesting about her. I think people sleep on her.
Yeah.
I mean, right?
Yeah,
100%. I mean, even all of these articles that came out last week after this new album came out was, like, Carly Rae Jepsen is the pop star you're, like, not taking serious enough. You're not listening to enough.
Sure.
All. The dialogue always about her is, like, her thriving in the shadows.
Yeah.
Like some orchid or something, you
sure.
know what I mean? Which I kind of, like, love.
Same, yeah.
I will say, I didn't really even realize this album came out.
Yeah.
Until you were posting that one song so much. And I'm like, oh, I actually got that song. I love it. And then I was listening to the song. I'm like, oh, my God, the song is part of a whole new album that just dropped.
Yeah, yeah.
So we got to talk to her PR people.
Yeah.
But do you like the album?
Love the album. I do. Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
Want You in My Room. I mean,
it's really good. I just wish it was longer. I want more from it.
But I think that's what makes it so good is that you're, like, wanting more.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, as soon as I heard that song, I was like, what is this song? There was, like, oh. I was just talking about this with Marissa this morning, my sister, and I was like, there's such a cool, like, 80s vibe to it
mm-hmm.
that I'm just so here for. And I do feel like there's quite a few of her songs that just have that, like, little hint of that 80s
nostalgia.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why I also love her, because I'm an 80s baby, so, you know. Yeah.
And I mean, there's so much that I do want to tell like more about her and like more about this album, but it's interesting. She wrote like 100 songs for it.
That's what I heard. Yeah. Which is crazy. I mean, but I hear that happens often where an artist will write a lot of songs for an album and then it comes down to like, you know, whatever, 10, 12.
Do you think that happens with Gaga?
I do.
Really?
I wouldn't be surprised if she has like a bunch of things that she like writes and, you know, just doesn't work out.
I definitely think it's so interesting that she would have wrote 100 songs for this album. Like, that's, like, insane to me.
Sure.
But it does have a pretty good, it has, like, a 7-point-something. I mean, I love the fact that Pitchfork, because Pitchfork thinks, like, they're so fucking, like, serious.
Okay.
Like, Pitchfork does, like, there's a lot of albums that Pitchfork, like, won't review.
Okay.
Like, a lot of pop albums and stuff, I'm pretty sure. But they reviewed Carly's.
Okay.
And they gave, like, a 7-point-something, which is pretty good.
Okay.
But the... I definitely want more from this song. And what are some of the other songs that you like on it?
Now That I Found You is like, I love like an upbeat, like pop jam. So that one was like an immediate for me. Too Much is a fun little
mm-hmm.
like groovy little bop that I can like definitely get into.
But I was literally doing like research, like I downloaded the This Is Carly Rae Jepsen, Spotify
playlist yeah.
last night for the flight, so
yeah.
I could be able to like
yeah.
have a more like detailed
yeah.
Conversation with you.
Yeah.
Now That I Found You, Too Much.
Yeah.
Oh, Party for One.
Party for One is a jam.
Right.
It's such an anthem. You know what I mean? It's one of those like, I don't know, self-love, self-care anthems.
But I really got over this one song. I don't think I'll be able to actually play it on the podcast, but Love Me Like That.
Okay.
Have you heard this?
I mean, I'm sure I've heard it. I just...
It's this random song she did with the Knox.
Okay. I'm not familiar with it.
It's so good.
Okay.
That song I listened to all summer, and the other song I listened to all summer was This Kiss.
Oh, it's so good. I love that song.
Oh my God, This Kiss.
Yeah, it's a gem. It's a gem. 100%.
Such a gem. And I do think there's definitely something about her where it's like that 80s nostalgia where you're just like, this is just, it's so, yeah, it's so, it feels like the music that should be playing like Romeo and Michelle's high school reunion or something.
Totally, yep. 100%.
So you said you were in a relationship. Are you single?
I am, yeah.
So what's that, like what's having 400,000 followers on Instagram, most of your videos on Instagram where you're dancing around your bedroom in underwear?
Uh-huh.
And then what's the experience like? Are people sliding into your DMs?
At times, yeah.
And what's your response to that? Are you into that? Are you like, no?
It depends. Sometimes I can be, yeah.
Do you think Instagram is a suitable place for a relationship to start? I'm not hitting on you right now. I'm just asking you.
I'm laughing because it's really funny to me what Instagram has become. Like, I've tried Tinder, I've tried Bumble, and I think through both apps, I've gone on maybe like 3 dates,
mm-hmm.
none of which were successful. I've had more dates off of Instagram that have gone really well than either of these, like, dating apps. So
of course.
Like, Instagram is, like, a fucking dating app as well.
Well, I've thought about this. When you're meeting somebody through your actual social media, they're actually seeing a much more valid personification of you online. So if they're accepting, like, I'm on Grindr,
yep,
and I don't have my Instagram linked, per se.
Okay.
And that could be, like, me possibly not, I mean, shaming myself into something. But, you know, it is a little bit more vulnerable,
yep,
to really put that out there. So if you're meeting someone, especially if you have an Instagram like yours where you are really being this, like, flamboyant, fabulous version of yourself,
uh-huh,
that person accepting you for them, like, yeah, I would say marry that man.
Yeah.
100%, right?
Yeah.
Were you ever on Grindr?
I have tried it before. It's not for me.
Just too much.
It's, it's hard for me. I think that was the problem with, like, Tinder and Bumble, was that it's just hard for me to, like, I don't know what I think you're right. It's like with Instagram, you can see a little bit more of a person, so you get a better idea, maybe. I think when it comes down to it, I do better off of, like, meeting people in person and just seeing what the vibe and the chemistry is. So I've tried it before. It's just not for me. Like, yeah.
What would you, if you, let's say you're talking about someone on Tinder, you know, Bumble, and, like, you're talking to them and then they, like, clocked you for, like, being who you are. Would,
yep,
you rather them clock you, or would you rather them not clock you?
You mean, like, if they are...
Be like, oh, I know who you are from Instagram.
Oh, to be honest, that's always a relief for me. Like, as soon as they are like, oh, your videos are da-da-da-da-da,
mm-hmm,
I'm like, great, you know what I do. Because I have had instances where, like, I feel like there's like, interest in a person, and then maybe later on down the road, they see my Instagram page or they come across it, and I notice that, like, things change a bit. You know,
mm-hmm,
what I mean? Which, if I'm being honest, like, it does make me a little self-conscious sometimes, and it makes me feel a little insecure because it almost feels like they're not, like, accepting a part of who you are. Do you know what I mean? So it just makes me, it kind of sometimes, like, fucks with my head a little bit. But then there are also, like, moments where, like, I'll meet someone and they're just so wonderful and they're just like, I love what you do. I think you're amazing. And I think it's, like, fucking awesome that you dance around like that. And I'm like,
mm-hmm,
cool. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I once had, like, a random guy. We were, like, starting to message on Grindr,
yep,
and he was, like, right away, he was like, oh my God, I was just watching a video of you in my dressing room. He's in The Lion King.
Okay.
And he was like, I was, like, doing some, like, really ridiculous man on the street stuff when I was working at Hornet.
Okay.
And they were, like, really goofy and really silly. And he, like, happened to have, like, seen one, like, through Hornet's social media.
Yeah.
And then we ended up, like, hooking up. But I actually, like, love that because – and he – this person's also, like, amazing.
Yeah.
They're so much fun. They're so cool. They're so positive and all of these things. And but I love that he clocked me and I, like, felt so much more comfortable. I mean, it's so funny. It's, like – but then here I am also saying that I am not showing people that side of me on these,
sure,
apps as well, which could be preventing me from actually, like, finding better people,
yep,
you know?
Yep.
But I'm also trying to get my, you know, my hole wet. What have you learned most about yourself through this process?
You know, what I've learned about myself the most is that it's okay to not be perfect. Growing up in Texas, which is predominantly a drag, like a pageant drag scene, you know, a lot of times they expect perfection out of you, and that's the anticipation that you, the expectation that you put on yourself. But going through this competition, it's okay to have fun. It's okay to just let go, live in the moment, and to relax and just enjoy everything that you get to do, because tomorrow's not promised.
How do you respond to negative feedback online? Like, when you see criticism or people being mean, like, how do you respond to that?
Well, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because I am a queen of the clapback, but I just try to really let the negativity just roll off my back because, you know, hurt people, so that's the one thing that I've learned throughout this competition is that hurt people, so it's okay, and to tell people that you love them. So, anybody that's hurting, I love you.
Oh, I love that. And then, have you ever point out one inspiring or positive message you've gotten that's really touched you?
I actually had a little girl come over to me yesterday, and she told me how inspired she was by my drag and how she really enjoyed me throughout the competition. So it really kind of touched my heart because that's why I really wanted to do this. I wanted to represent me and my community and people that look like me. So it was a little brown girl who came to me, so it was amazing.
Huh. And can you introduce yourself for...
My name is Rajadio Harris, straight from season 11 of RuPaul's Drag Race and representing Dallas, Texas, baby.
Thank you, love. Through your experience on Drag Race, what have you learned about yourself?
I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was. I knew I was a strong person, but I thought that the show would break me. And afterwards, I learned that, you know, actually my limits go a little bit further than I thought.
What, how do you respond to, like, negativity online?
Sometimes I will respond to it. If it's something that gets underneath my skin or it's something that is a lie, I have to tell the truth. So sometimes I'll respond to negativity, but at other times I let it go because, you know, I can't allow someone to ruin my day. If I'm having a good day, why give someone power to influence what the rest of my day is going to be? I'm like, that's just stupid. So, you know, I say fuck them.
And then tell me about a moment, like a really positive or inspiring message or a moment when, you know, somebody reached out to you maybe on social media or online and it was a piece of positivity or love.
Oh, you know what? Mariah Carey had tweeted me and I had tweeted her saying that one of her songs on her new album is called Portrait. I was like, thank you so much for this song because I was on the plane having a breakdown, just going through it, and the lyrics of the song just spoke to what I've been experiencing, and I landed, turned my phone back on, and she responded and was just like, it was just amazing to be like, wait a minute, the Mariah Carey just responded to me, and you know, just that was some inspiration that I needed.
What did you learn most about yourself through your All Stars experience?
This last one?
Mm-hmm.
I learned that, wow, I am really patient. I'm really patient. But also, like, you know, I learned that I had to be really strong because I was separated from my fiance at the time, and we were planning a wedding, so that was really challenging, but we got through it, so that was good to know.
And then you had an amazing wedding.
And then you had the wedding of a lifetime, like, for real, for real. So it was worth it. It was worth the sacrifice, but it was scary there for a minute because I didn't know.
How do you respond to, like, negativity online?
Like, I don't. Like, that's my key. Like, I don't respond to it. And then, like, and if I do, it's with love. Like, I totally throw them off because I'm like, oh, okay, I'm sorry you feel that way. And thank you and bless you. And I keep it moving. But I don't. And then I block them. But I don't really respond. I'm not going to get in no Twitter war over something somebody said because I don't owe anyone explanations for anything that I do in my life. So.
And Roger said something amazing. Roger said, usually hurt people hurt.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And they're just sitting behind their computer screens or phones or whatever and tormenting people who are trying to make a difference in the world. And I believe in karma. And so good things happen to good people and vice versa.
And also, it's like we're choosing to put ourselves out there. And there are a lot of people that are choosing not to put themselves out there. And that's their choice. But it kind of comes with the territory when you do what we do.
It does.
And I'd rather take so much of the good and take the risk and take that little bit of bad because yep. I'd rather be the type of person that puts myself out there.
Absolutely. And the thing of it is, if I, you know, I always feel like if I can get through that, then I can get through anything. Like, it didn't break my, me at all.
Hi. And what about the positivity? Can you tell me an inspiring or positive message you recently got that really touched you?
Well, it's just people have been writing me, even latecomers, late bloomers to the show. But I've been getting a lot of messages how I've helped people get through cancer and chemo and their darkest time when they thought they were going to not make it. And I brought them joy through watching Drag Race. And so that to me, I got a message the other day ago of someone who said I saved their life because they didn't want to be here anymore. And they found joy through me, and they felt like if I can make it through, they can make it through. So giving people hope and inspiring them to be a better themselves, version of themselves is what it's all about for me. And that's what makes me do what I do and love it.
Okay, now we're not going to do like 73 because we don't got that kind of time.
Yeah.
But let's do some of those type of questions because people fucking love this shit.
Okay.
Favorite Meryl Streep film?
Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to go with Devil Wears Prada. I just fucking love her in that. It's like, it's such a great performance from her.
Is there like a favorite moment from that film?
Not one in particular. Oh, you know what moment I actually love? It was an award show where...
Oh, yeah, when they were presenting,
it
right?
It was genius.
When Emily Blunt and Anne Hathaway were presenting,
yes.
And then she would give them that dirty look.
It was honestly the best. It was so good.
Favorite Carly Rae Jepsen song that's not Cut to the Feeling?
Oh, that's so hard. That's mean.
Your sister's laughing in the back. I love that.
Maybe Run Away With Me. I think that's a jam.
Such a good song.
Such a good song.
Such a good... It's really insane how good that song is.
It's really...
We didn't even bring it up before, so I'm glad you brought it up. Favorite Lady Gaga song to perform to?
Ooh. I might have to go with, just off the top of my head, Telephone.
And did you perform that with her when you did?
Mm-hmm. It's such a jam. I mean, like, that, it's such a jam. And the choreography on that is, like, it's so fun to do. So I think that's also part of what makes that one of my favorites.
What was your first reaction when you saw A Star Is Born? And what was, like, the first thing you thought? Or what was your first opinion? Or
Proud comes to mind.
Aw.
Yeah, I was just really proud of her for, like, doing that. I was like, this is fucking awesome. I thought it was so cool.
And do you think The Cure was written for A Star Is Born?
I don't know, but that's so funny that you bring that up because Merce and I were having breakfast this morning and it came on at this restaurant. And I was like, this song is so good. It is.
And so, Allie.
Such a jam.
Pop Allie Main.
I never thought about that, but yeah.
I think it was totally written for The Cure and then it wasn't going to be. Or she was just like, I need to add some. We got to get people to give me $1.99 on iTunes for my Coachella song. Let's add it.
That's funny that you said that because there was a song on Star Is Born that did remind me of like The Cure vibe, which is.
Well, it's like, hair, body.
No, there was another one.
What are you doing? Do that to me.
No, there was.
That was Cher covering Allie Main.
What song was that? Heal Me.
Yeah.
Heal Me. It was like, it was so much in that world, in that vibe of like The Cure, which I was like, so similar. So now that you said that, I'm like, oh, interesting. I never thought about it. But yeah.
Wow, am I connecting like artistic dots of the Lady Gaga portfolio?
You are. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that.
You got to maybe do a video to Heal Me.
I'll think about it.
Because you were just doing some body rolls, and I was kind of...
Body rolls are, like, my go-to. I would, like, body roll on anything, on any song. Yeah.
Yeah, you love body rolls.
I love a body roll. That's my go-to move.
I love, like, a ham and cheese roll. favorite housewife?
I don't watch Housewives, so I don't know. I used to watch Beverly Hills. Who did I like a lot?
Are you, like, boycotting the franchise?
No, I just... I don't have cable. I don't watch it. I don't know. Yeah. I loved Lisa. I thought she was so fun.
Lisa LVP?
Yeah.
Have you been to her her pet store?
I have not. I've heard about it.
It's really cute. And there's a little like rescue center in the pet store.
I try and avoid that for very specific reasons.
You don't have pets?
I don't have pets.
Can you have pets in this?
I can. I just, my traveling schedule is a little crazy. So I feel like it'd be really unfair. So yeah.
If you were a housewife, what would your tagline be?
I'd be like, I'm trying to think.
I know, this is fun.
Ooh, I just got it. I'd be like, hey guys, get me a pair of scissors because I'm ready to cut to the feeling.
We'll probably end the podcast on that note, but I want to ask you a few more.
Okay.
What What would the title of your autobiography be?
what would it be? Oh, God, I don't know. It's really hard. Party for One. Oh, that is really cute, actually. I like that. I don't know.
My quest of self-realization in the music of Carly Rae Jepsen. Every chapter is like a different...
Stop. Every chapter is a title. I love that idea. That's really
what, cool. What's next for you?
I've been putting more time and energy into just developing, I guess, this side of me, like this kind of what I've been exploring. I've been teaching a lot, which has been really
You love kids.
I love
and
kids.
And kids love you.
And kids love me.
You're going to be such a good dad one day.
I think I will be.
Oh, you will be, girl. I don't care if you're 39, 50, 45. Yeah, you're going to be.
I think I'll be a good dad.
Yeah, you are.
But yeah, I just...
And a hot dad.
Thank you. I enjoy that, but I also want to start reaching out and connecting with people that are not necessarily or don't consider themselves dancers or performers. Because I've been like, through what I've been doing, I've just been noticing some of the comments and feedback that I get. And a lot of the comments and feedback that I get are from people that are like, oh my gosh, like, I wish I could express myself in that way, or I wish I had that confidence, or things of that nature that I, like, I don't know, I notice and I'm like, how cool would it be for me to, like, create a space for people to actually do this, you know? So that's kind of something that I am working on and developing right now. So
you should do, like, an LGBTQ homeless shelter, like, tour, where you go around to, like, different... like LGBTQ youth homeless shelters and do like dance classes with them.
Talk about that actually. Yeah. I think that'd be wonderful.
And that concludes this week's episode of The Fame Report. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and rate 5 stars today.